RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. More details are emerging on funeral arrangements for former President Carter.
The Carter Center in Atlanta, where the family is asking people to send donations instead of flowers. People are bringing flowers anyway.
He's my favorite president. Favorite president, for sure.
The next several days will give Americans who wish plenty of chances to share condolences. There will be public viewings in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., and a state funeral next week Thursday in the nation's capital, just 11 days before the inauguration of the next president, Donald Trump.
ABC Steve Olson Sami. From Ethiopia, word that at least 66 people were killed when a truck hired by wedding guests fell off a bridge and into a river in southern Ethiopia. Airport terminal bad behavior. Cameron Dylan McDougal of Toronto is jailed in Miami. Police say McDougal physically attacked multiple people inside the Miami International Airport on Sunday, including a TSA officer. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Packers are swept by the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second time this season, the Packers lost to the Vikings, again by just 2 points, the final 27-25 at U.S. Bank Stadium. Packers running back Josh Jacobs asked, if the team has lost any confidence after being swept by both the Lions and now the Vikings this season.
Not at all. I told our guys at halftime, believe in ourselves. At the end of the day, like I said, we did a lot of things I feel like was on us. So I told our guys, believe in ourselves. I don't think it was nobody in here that believed that we was just going to lose. I think everybody had the belief that we was going to pull it out some type of way. We just fell short today.
The Packers will host the Bears next Sunday at noon. Men's college hockey. The Badgers beat the UConn Huskies 4-3 to win the holiday faceoff at Five Serve Forum in Milwaukee. It's the third time in 4 years Wisconsin has won the tournament. NBA, the Bucks are in Indianapolis tomorrow afternoon against the Pacers on New Year's Eve. Tip-off time at 2 p.m. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the ear,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Had one of the greatest conversations today that I've had in a very long time. It's one of those funny kind of conversations where I had a red hat friend tell me how wonderful 2025 was going to be. Said he's been watching the show. He says, it's funny that you don't think that the future is going to be better. Donald Trump's going to make America great again. And he told me, and he ticked it off. He said, you know, gas is going to be buck a gallon. Eggs are going to be 99 cents. He's going to lower grocery prices. Car insurance cut in half. Landlords are going to voluntarily bring down rents. Home prices are going to fall so we can buy homes again. Mortgage rates are going to fall under 3% again. They're not going to tax Social Security. They're not going to tax tips. They're not going to tax overtime. Ukraine, the wars are all going to end around the world. There's peace everywhere. He's going to lower taxes for all the working families who make less than 200 grand. And it's all going to be great. It's all going to be great because, according to him, Republicans have the trifecta. They got the hat trick. They got the House. They got the Senate. They got Donald Trump. They got their Project 2025. It's all going to be great. It's all been mapped out. It's all been war gamed in the think tanks. It's been focus group tested, think tank approved. It's going to be great. And when he was done, I said, and we get ponies, right? We all get ponies, and the kind of ponies that clean up after themselves, right? And he sat and he thought about it for a second. Like, is he serious? No, I wasn't serious. I don't think any of those things are serious. I don't think any of those things are really even possible. But
we'll see, because he's right. The Republicans, they got the hat trick. And as Mitt Romney, and I agree with Mitt Romney, the GOP is the MAGA party. MAGA is the GOP. They will all fall in the line because that's what they do. And look, they're going to do things that MAGA people want. There will be things happening fast and furious. MAGA will fall in line because it's what they do. And from my perspective, the hard part is going to be keeping up with all of the horrible things that are going to happen. It's going to be damn near impossible to keep up. And we'll find out eventually. Eventually, we'll realize what damage is done. But here's the reality. It's going to happen. And we've got to pay attention. The sad thing for me, though, is just how broken everything seems to be. You know, I know nothing's ever been perfect, but things seem to be quite broken in this moment. And when we've got a working class that is looking to a billionaire and a bunch of billionaires and a bunch of CEOs, you know, the people who created this mess as their saviors, it's kind of going to be interesting. Now, over the weekend, I saw an opinion piece by Brett Stevens over at the New York Times where he looked at Brian Thompson and Luigi Mangione. And the title of the piece was, "Brian Thompson, not Luigi Mangione, is the real working class hero." And a bunch of people sent me this, going, "Well, see, what do you think of this?" And I think it's indicative of just how broken our system is. Because Brett Stevens goes through the story of Brian Thompson, who, you know, made his way up from being a port dirt farmer, you know, in Iowa, working his butt off on a farm, doing all those jobs, worked his way up to become a CEO. And what did he do? He did what other CEOs do. This is indicative of of a broken system. In fact, not only did he do what other CEOs do, his company led the way in denying people care. That, to me, not the sign of a true working class hero. A working class hero would remember their roots and change the industry. Now, understand, he's one guy in a massive, massive wave of greed and dysfunction. This system is badly broken, but our media focuses on Luigi and on Brian, which is terrible. What happened to Brian Thompson is terrible. What happened to Luigi is terrible. All of it's bad, and I've said that all along. I do not condone violence. It's bad. It's not good. I weep for the family of Brian Thompson, but I don't condemn what happened because it's kind of the litmus test. It's kind of the canary in the coal mine to say, hey, something is broken. A system is not working. And for me, it's only going to get worse because our media is picking each side of this. We've got working people who are siding with Bezos and Musk. Stop and think about this for a minute. Now, I had someone send me this little graph that it's not wrong. It says Elon Musk's wealth in 2012 was $2 billion. It's now $447 billion. Bezos' wealth was $18 billion in 2012. It's now $249 billion. Zuckerberg's wealth was $44 billion in 2012. It's now $224 billion. In 2009, the minimum wage was $7.25 an hour. Do you know what the minimum wage today is? That's right, $7.25 an hour. We've got a CEO billionaire government going to make sure that their needs are met, their wealth is protected, their ability to get more power, more control, more wealth. They are firmly in control. And yet, the federal minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. The average everyday working person is still struggling to get by. And now we've got coming in the most CEO solid government in history. This is the best government CEOs could buy. And whose interest do you think that they're going to be looking out for? these quote-unquote working-class heroes who made it from the dirt to the penthouse. Who do you think they're going to care for? You? Me? I can guarantee you not. Much like Brian Thompson. He made millions of dollars. He supported his family. He looked out for number one. And yet his company, one of the most egregious ones out there. Because, not because Brian Thompson's a bad guy, not because he deserved what happened to him, but because our systems are badly broken. Healthcare in this country is badly broken. Health insurance is badly broken. The employer-employee relationship, badly broken. Every system, every institution, every function, the greed monsters have taken over. And what have they done masterfully? They've blamed their workers. They've blamed the others. And do I hope Trump does everything he says he's going to do? Yes, I do. I hope he does everything he said he was going to do and more. I hope he honors every pledge, because what we voted for ain't great. And I know, before you send me an angry email, I didn't vote for him. Neither did I. But the majority in this country did. And that's how elections are won. So for me, it's going to be interesting to see where the priorities are. It's going to be interesting to see where the losers in these policies. And I think we're going to be surprised by who some of the losers are going to be. But it's going to be an interesting year, I'll tell you that. Lots to look out for. Going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Ney, former Ohio congressman, going to be here to share some thoughts on what he's looking for in the coming year. Back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So the question is, if the Republicans have this grand agenda on how they're going to do all those wonderful things, you know, lower health care costs, lower drug costs, lower, you know, lower everything, you know, eggs and gas and insurance and rent and mortgages and, you know, mortgage rates, how they're going to reinvent the economy. And in a couple of weeks, they said, you know, very, very quickly, going to happen. Trust them. And I said, let them do it. Let's see if they can. They now have the keys to the car. Let them drive it. And here to share some thoughts on maybe how quickly we get this done. Because remember, day one, dictator. We'll see what day one looks like. That's why I've asked my good friend Bob Ney to come share some thoughts. Bob's a former member of Congress and one of the smartest guys on the political scene. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you, Rick.
So how quick? How quick can we get all this done? How quick can we lower prices? How quick can we get, you know, back to, well, I don't want to say normal, because normal wasn't that great. It was too expensive and wages were too low then. But how do we get to where people want to be happy?
Let's see. How fast can the government move? There's drones everywhere. I'm from Ohio. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base shut down over a drone. Makes me feel secure, Rick. I don't know about you. Oh, yeah. Our Air Force Base has to shut down. We have a scary drone. So that there's my faith in a nutshell in the government. All right. But as far as Trump goes, there's several things. One, you know, the economy, of course, which I don't know. Who knows who's going to do what now? Tariffs. It's a poker game. Nobody really thinks, even though he put some tariffs on, and Biden kept them for the most part, which was smart. This is a whole new tariff discussion now. It's 100% across the board on all these products from Canada, you know, Mexico, maybe other countries, China, obviously. Now, if this turns into the poker game, it could, then not a lot of damage would be done across the farming community and price-wise if, in fact, again, it's a poker game where Trump does this to make these countries yield. If those countries yield, then the tariffs will come in and not do a lot of harm, but do some good. The real problem won't be solved, and in my opinion, the real problem, that's we don't have a budget. $36 trillion, $35 trillion, whatever it is right now, and counting, and they're not going to do it. Trump's not going to do it. House, Senate Republicans aren't going to do it. It hasn't been done in years by Democrat and Republican presidents. So that's one you're not going to hear anything about. You're going to hear continuing resolutions. So one, we'll see where the economy does end up. Immigration, certain policies can be carried out, obviously, through executive order. Depends on, you know, how many people you can move that were in the criminal status. 13,000 are in prison. You know, they could be sent back, some of them. The rest of it is a delicate process. Number two, Miller, his immigration guy, you know, they're talking about the legal side of immigration. Well, what about HB1 visas, the people that come in and assist on tech? Forget farming for a second. It's important. But what about the tech side where we're, you know, horribly short many times? What will be done with that? So that's an unknown factor yet of, you know, what they will do with that whole deal. And then, of course, there's, you know, a lot of other issues that, you know, healthcare, that's going to continue to be costly. So we'll see. I think the important part on the Democratic side is what is going to be their counter. And if the Republicans come up with some things that would be, you know, a proposal the Democrats could side with, then they should. If they can't, they have to be not just loyal opposition, but they have to have their own mantra, their own policy, their own game plan to counter. I think, Rick, the real key as this year progresses of whether, you know, these policies are shaped or not, it's not the Senate, it's the House. Hakeem Jeffries on the Democratic side. No. This is a slim margin. Slim.
Well, I see, here's the thing, and this is where I agree with Mitt Romney, who said, look, you know, the GOP is now the MAGA party. This is the MAGA party. They are all subservient and loyal to Trump. I don't see anyone getting out of line. I see them being able to, if dear leader says do it, they better do it, or they know that there will be you know what to pay. So I see the Republicans, basically, they've got the car, they've got the keys, they claim to know where they're going. They've got a whole Project 2025 book full of bad ideas. It should be bill up, bill down, signed, law next. They should be banging through this.
Well, yeah, the one thing they could do is to, if they're cohesive, if they have unity on it, they can put out a certain amount of bills, knowing that the Republican Senate will reject a portion of those bills. And of course, you have to see what Trump latches onto with the Republican House. The other particular scenario is if the Speaker can't get the votes, and then they start to say, well, you know, the Speaker's the problem, and you get back into what you have with Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Three names, then Republicans are going to be in real trouble because it'll be the circular firing squad again. So we'll see. I mean, look, they didn't gain a ton of seats, did they?
No.
You know?
No,
they didn't gain. For the amount of areas Trump took that we were all in shock that he took, Republicans didn't gain all the seats they thought they would, because they spent a great portion of the year fighting each other.
No, excellent point. But, you know, here's my problem, though. Trump won rural America by huge margins. And yet, if you look at his top priorities, These are all basically screwing over rural America. And you look at the agricultural side, you brought up tariffs. If he does this broad-based tariffs, everyone knows the squeal point for our country is you start talking about taxing agricultural or tariffing agricultural goods. And look, the other thing that they want to do is they want to get a big bus and get all the undocumented immigrants out. Well, hey, rural America, you just lost your cheap labor. And oh, by the way, they're talking about slashing Medicaid funding. Hey, rural America, there goes your hospital. They're talking about pushing more vouchers. Hey, rural America, kiss your school districts goodbye. Now, also, they want to privatize the post office. Hey, rural America, no more delivery for you cheap. So this seems to me one of these moments where their strongest base is getting screwed over the most by their main policies.
Yeah, I think everything you mentioned, and I agree, is delicate and could backfire. The only one, the post office is such a weird hybrid that I got so tired of dealing with it. That one I'm going to let go.
You're going to privatize the post office, or you're going to pay $4 to send a letter across the country?
I don't want to think about it.
Okay. But that's one of those things that they've been moving toward for a very long time. And as I've been saying, look, for me, it's not even so much about the post office as it's a giant land grab. The Postal Service owns tons of property across this country, massive facilities, and the amount of money that whoever was lucky enough to put it in their pocket would gain would be incredible.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
So for me, this is another one of those assets that we the people have that we're gonna privatize it. It's going to happen. And well, we're going to end up paying the freight, paying much more for the cost of the service. It's going to get worse. And oh, by the way, rural America, you're going to have to go find a box somewhere halfway across town because home delivery to your neck of the woods, done.
Right. Oh, true. That's true. Right.
So for me, I look at this again, and I don't think anything I've said is wrong. But it's interesting to me to see that the Republicans are ready to shun rural America, kind of like the Democrats did 30 years ago when there were rural Democrats, when there were dirt road Democrats, the Tom Harkins of the world. Maybe this is a realignment point. I don't know, but it's interesting to see.
It is. I mean, this election, you know, there's one thing that, you know, that I think that the Democratic side has to yield on. And that is, it wasn't a bunch of, you know, white guys that put Trump in. There's a mixture of people, a mixture of groups. Now, the other thing the Republicans have to realize is just because you win and you have a quote mandate doesn't mean every idea you thought of is accepted. Rick, I saw people in Congress and they would stand up in these, you know, as you know, Republicans have a private caucus, the Democrats do, right? In the Republican caucus, people would stand up and say, my district, mine, you know, you own it. My district will do whatever I want because I won with 58% of the vote. I don't care if it's 80% of the vote. You do something they don't like, guess what? That can change. Yeah. So anybody that's got the idea that just because there's the House, the Senate, and the White House Republican, that anything can be done, that can backfire. We'll see. Time will tell.
No, and look, we know that, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I do believe they're going to overreach. I do believe they're going to do all the horrible things that I know they're going to do. And in 2 years, there's going to be a bloodbath in the House. And Democrats will regain the House because that's generally how this works out. And nothing's going to get done for 2 years. And a Republican will win in 2 years after that in the White House because nothing is going to get done. And the anger and the frustration of how broken most systems in this country seem to be will again keep this pendulum swinging back and forth.
Right. And there are, you know, there are things that are broken with the pharmaceuticals, with the healthcare. It was a decision not made, but there was a recent healthcare decision. I know personally about it because some of my family with the healthcare provider got this notice that they all of a sudden were going to say, well, we've timed an operation and it should be 4 hours and the anesthesiologist gives you enough anesthetic for 4 hours. If the operation takes longer while you're laying there getting operated on, if it takes longer, then you're going to have to pay the anesthesiologist for the additional time.
Yeah. Or the anesthesiologist is going to have to eat it. But Anthem, the people, the person.
Where does that come from?
The company that did that, Anthem, they've walked back from that.
Well, yes, they did.
Actually, after the shooting of the UnitedHealthcare right. CEO.
Yeah.
Interesting timing. Walked it back.
I'm just saying there's all these issues out there. Nobody even knew about some of these things, and they're going on. And they're going to pop to the surface because if you want to talk about the economy and inflation, it's not just, you know, eggs and gasoline. There's a lot of items out there and factors that are causing, you know, increased yep. costs in the country.
Oh, look, as I just said a moment ago, you know, the reality is I believe our systems are broken. And the American people believe the systems are broken. You know, the shooting of a healthcare CEO does not make me happy. I don't think it shouldn't make anybody happy. This isn't the way we should handle things. But I understand it. It's kind of like the litmus test of what's going on. And the way our media has been covering this, they're talking about everything but the fact that the healthcare system is broken. The health insurance system is broken and nobody's going to fix it. So we're just going to be plugging people into places. And, you know, if someone gets murdered, well, someone will immediately take their place, much like happened with Brian Thompson.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. The system's in trouble.
Well, the systems are broken. And this is what the frustration is, because nobody's talking about really fixing the systems. We're band-aiding it or we're distracting from the real problems. And we've got real problems in this country, and working people know it. And this is where both parties have screwed over people and where my frustration is all across the board.
Right. It's gaslighting, you know, issues are taken out and then here's the major issue. And I call some of it, unfortunately, political entertainment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they'll do what's called gaslighting, and they'll take an issue and throw it out there, and while you're looking this side, something else bad's going on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it's sadly where we are. So the question then becomes, is this next 4 years going to be any different? Are there going to be solutions here that are going to make people's lives better? Or, as I fear, you've got a CEO class, the people who have broken all of our systems, now in charge of our government, and only going to rig the game even further to their advantage by deregulating, by cutting taxes on corporations and the rich, and by filling the what regulatory agencies we have left with sycophants and revolving door wannabes.
Well, I was asked a question, interesting, from some people overseas messaged me that I know, you know, in a couple of different countries. And they saw this clip of Josh Hawley and the MasterCard companies and, you know, Visa. And they asked me, well, what do you think? Well, first of all, Josh Hawley doesn't care about he's got some constituent or something that's a small business person. Right. Otherwise, I don't think Josh Hawley would be concerned whatsoever on this issue. But the facts that were coming out in this case were startling. 28.76% interest, 50% profit and more. A profit.
Yeah.
Walmart gets its break. You know, it's 2 or 3%. The small business people don't get their break. And of course, it's like a monopoly. Like I said, I don't think Josh Hawley's intent was genuine. But the fact of the committee and what they heard was pretty startling.
I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, again, the system's broken and we, the people, know it. And as I think you put it perfectly, you know, I don't think he cares one way or another. It's a good political. It's a nice piece of political entertainment, but I don't think there's a true core value there.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or how do you correct these things? So it's going to be a fascinating start to see what is done in year one and where the agenda goes. And as I said, with the Democratic side, I think that a not a wait and see strategy, but I think a strategy of, you know, cherry pick. If there are certain things that are working, you don't have to fight at all.
Yeah.
You know, go with it. Now, go with it means compromising, but maybe there are some things that, that the Democratic side would feel are productive. If not, they've got to fight it hard and come up with an alternative. That's always, I think, a key. Come up with, what's your alternative to it?
Yeah. Well, when they want to privatize Social Security and Medicare, the alternative is no.
I think that's the alternative.
No, that's the alternative. Just my thought. But Bob, as always, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, the insight. Always great stuff.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Bob Ney, I want to hear your thoughts. What do you think the new year is going to bring us? Are there going to be times that Democrats are going to go along and get along? I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, areas of fog and lows in the upper 20s. And staying mostly cloudy for tomorrow, high in the mid-30s. A little bit of sunshine on New Year's Day, high in the mid-20s. And around 20 to the low 20s with more sun Thursday and Friday. Current temp is 30.
The Todd Allbush Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, $15 million. That's how much ABC is evidently giving Donald Trump to settle a defamation suit. Evidently, someone said that the civil suit, he was convicted of raping E. Jean Carroll, whatever that is, and he sued. And ultimately, I would have to assume, rather than spend, you know, $30 million defending that, here's some money, go away. I don't know. But the question is, while Trump is in office, how much more of this are we going to see? How much media harassment, how much intimidation, how much pulling their, threatening to pull their license, revoking their network status? You know, how much of this are we going to see over the next 4 years? How much of the dictatorial kind of authoritarian strongman garbage are we going to have to endure? I'm here to share some thoughts on all of that. My favorite reporter, Sarah Burris, is a reporter over at Raw Story. RawStory.com, the website. One of the groups, I got to think, in the age of Trump, going to have to be watching their back. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, happy holidays.
And back at you. So what do you make of this? I mean, what do you make of this this settlement, this $15 million? And what's this going to mean to everyone else in broadcast journalism over the next 4 years?
Well, I do think that every single person in broadcast journalism is going to have to be very, very careful. I think with George Stephanopoulos, like the way that he said it, it was wrong. It was factually inaccurate. So I don't think that there is a way that he could have won that lawsuit. What generally happens, though, is whenever you say something wrong, you come back and you're like, you know, I completely, you know, misstated this, or this is what the actual facts are. And, you know, I think that's the difference between what happened with Stephanopoulos, is that, you know, there wasn't that kind of huge public on-air correction.
There wasn't that page 67 retraction, is what you're saying. You know, like, yeah, in the credits, I mean, at the end of the show.
Right, right. And so I think, you know, at the same time, like, he's the kind of guy who, you know, picks at Donald Trump, and Donald Trump hates him. And so it makes people like that an easy target. You know, you have to be on your game and make sure that the way that you're stating things is accurate. And I feel like you know, however many times you can put the word allegedly in there or accused of, and, you know, things like that. Like, that's sort of the get out of jail free card, to sort of be careful about, you know, saying things. But I mean, it's scary, because I think even if you're not incorrectly stating something, I fear, we've talked about the Olivia Troy thing. Kash Patel sent her this letter, you know, where she basically stated her opinion, this guy is not qualified. And so he wants to sue her for saying that and ask her to retract it. And it's very different if it's an opinion versus what Stephanopoulos did, was state something that was factually inaccurate. So what I worry about in the future is, you know, this kind of hybrid system of, you know, Trump people and MAGA world trying to go after folks because they don't like what they're saying, they don't like their opinions, versus, you know, actually going after them because of defamation or because they got something wrong. And if Donald Trump really, it's like a love-hate relationship with the media, right? Yeah. Like, he needs them. Absolutely. He desperately needs them. And so I wonder, like, at what point will that line be drawn? You know, if he alienates everyone and they just stop covering him, then, you know, how does that work?
How that'll work is the right-wing media that they've built will then step in and fill that void and basically spew whatever right-wing propaganda, whatever Trump dear leader wants, that will be the news. And nobody else will be fact-checking. No one else will be doing any investigation. It will just be reality. And I think that's a big part of what they want. They want to silence actual journalism so that propaganda can fill its place.
And the idea was, you know, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And that is the one thing that they're trying. That's what they're trying to change.
I think they've already done it. They've created this whole incestuous pool of think tanks and media and talking heads, and they all cross site and cross. It is a giant cesspool of nonsense. And yet half the country buys it. And buys it wholeheartedly, as if I've had people tell me some of just the most ridiculous things that they believe to their core, and you can't talk to them about it being just nonsense.
My favorite thing is, you know, because I'm going home obviously for the holidays, and so this means encountering a lot of MAGA people. I try and take it to the next logical extreme, where, you know, they come up with, they spout a conspiracy theory, and I'm like, yeah, and another thing, and then I go way far out there. You're like, let me tell you about the aliens, right? Like, the aliens are always my joke, right? You know, and so it's, that's sort of my way of highlighting their absurdity in a way that they don't quite know what to do with.
Well, it's like, you know,
that's how I get my kicks.
No, it's like how I started today's show off with the story of me talking to a guy who's telling me all these things are going to happen. Gas is going to be $1 a gallon. Eggs are going to be 99 cents. Grocery prices are going to fall through the floor. You know, car insurance is coming down. Rent's coming down. You know, the mortgage rates are going to be back down to 2%. No, they're not going to tax Social Security or tips or overtime. And just going to do all of this stuff. It's going to be utopia. And I said, yeah, all of that. And we all get ponies too. And he stopped like he was actually considering it. And that was the weirdest part of the whole conversation.
The ponies.
We all get ponies.
Free brunch. Everybody gets free brunch. Right? Socialized brunch.
No, and this is what scares me, though, is that you know, what happens is what we've been saying. You know, ABC, NBC, you know, any journalism that will actually fact check what Trump or any of his sycophants say, they're going to be pushed aside, and all we're going to get is regurgitated state news. And I think that's bad for democracy, but we've already proven no one really gives a you know what about democracy. Yeah. We want 99 cent eggs. We don't really care about democracy.
My curiosity will be, at what point are are people going to realize that they're not getting 99 cent eggs again? You know, because one of the stories that I wrote, I can't remember if it was the end of last week or early this week, is, you know, the avian flu is growing in huge numbers, and it's spread to cow milk. And so now the FDA is going to have to start testing milk production in a lot of places. And so, like, this idea that people think that eggs are going to be cheaper because of Donald Trump, it's just like, is he laying them? Because I don't know how.
No, well, we're not going to have any FDA, so you're not going to have to worry about testing it and stuff. It'll be fine.
Right. And obviously RFK loves to drink raw milk. Yep, so
all that. And the fact that we're talking, look, I had another conversation this week with somebody about raw milk, and I'm like, you know, I don't care. Go ahead, drink it all you want. Some people that I know who do found out very quickly it doesn't agree with them. And
yeah,
maybe you're one of the people who it tastes great right out of the tap, and God bless you, run around the field chasing the cow all you want. But some people it doesn't agree with, and I don't care. You want to get sick, you knock yourself out.
That is what freedom is all about.
That is. God bless you. Do your thing. I'm okay. I live in a rural area. They sell this stuff down the road. People go and they buy it. So it works for them. It doesn't work for them. Don't care. But the stuff that I buy in the store, I prefer to know that it's not going to make me sick. Just kind of throwing that out there. Now, I do want to flip a little bit and talk about our news coverage of the CEO shooting, particularly Brett Stevens' article about Brian Thompson being a working class hero and, well, Luigi Mangione not. And you know, as I said during the opening, you know, look, I don't cheer Luigi. I do mourn the death of Brian Thompson. I think it's a tragedy for his family. I don't condone violence, but you know, I kind of get it. And for me, it's the system that is totally broken. And just another example of how badly our system's broken. But interesting to me how the media is spinning this to fit their own narratives and not really talk about what the real problem is, and is just how badly broken our healthcare system and our insurance system really is.
And honestly, they did it for like 5 seconds right before they had caught the shooter. It's like everybody was starting to see the stories, the horror stories of what people face in the healthcare system. And they were hearing folks talk about it. And so they would report on what those stories were. And then that just sort of disappeared, and it became more, you know, the story of the tragedy rather than the reason for the tragedy. And, you know, now it's like everybody has to bend over backwards to talk about how, you know, we don't condone violence and a whole conversation about how to make change. And at the same time, you know, talking about this violence thing, and I'm like, have y'all not studied history? Like, the history of America is hung on a timeline of violence.
Hung. Interesting, and so interesting choice of words.
Right? There you go. I think I would say too, this issue in particular is like the one place where MAGA and progressives are really coming together around it. Cause it's like everybody in the world hates healthcare, and these CEOs and they're, especially if they end up with golden parachutes, they have become emblematic of everything that folks hate in the industry.
Yep.
And the horrors that they're facing, and the arguments, and the debt, and all of the just terrible things that have happened. So I think people get to a point where they look at this and they're like, yeah, I don't think that shooting somebody in the back is a good idea. I don't want to see somebody, you know, die. But at the same time, I understand how someone can be pushed that far. And I mean, this is sort of what we talk about all the time with mass shootings and red flag laws. And, you know, these things are in place for a reason, because when someone isn't necessarily the most stable person in the world and they are triggered in that way that makes them want to be violent, the system should work to make sure that they're not able to get any guns and, you know, enact their violent thoughts on the populace. But again, like, I don't know how many CEOs it's going to take for people to be like, oh yeah, we need to ban ghost guns, right?
Oh, I'm sure they're already talking about that. But that's not even my problem with the ghost guns. My problem is we're not getting the message, which is the system is broken. It doesn't matter who the CEO is. They're going to bring someone else in, and they're going to be just as bad. I guarantee you tomorrow, UnitedHealthcare is still going to be denying people because that is the system. That's the structure. It's what they do. It's how they make their money. And this idea that this Brian Thompson is this great working class hero, I guess I'm just missing. I'm missing that point. Yeah, he did work himself up from down on the farm to become the CEO. He went from the dust to the penthouse. But along the way, on how many backs did he climb?
Yeah. That's the thing, right? Is there are all of these people who think that they're self-made, and it's like, well, whose roads did you drive on? Whose tax dollars supported your education? We as a society are promoted and by each other. We lift each other up. And so this idea that somebody is self-made or did something by themselves is a joke. Yep. And so these CEO types should be brought down off their pillars. I'm not sure that they should be shot down, however.
No, I'm right there with you. I agree. Finally, I got to get your thoughts on the coming year. Lots to be paying attention to, lots to look at. Your focus, you're going to be focusing on our wonderful, people in robes, the nine there in the robes.
Honestly, I think that is probably the one thing that I'm most curious about, because we've seen John Roberts sort of turn to the right, and we've seen all of these different stories where he thought, you know, I'm writing a law for the ages with this immunity crap and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm wondering, you know, will there be a point at which John Roberts realizes, oh crap, you know, and will he finally meet somebody in the public who's like, let me tell you something, buddy, like you are so far off the reservation than what Americans are thinking and wanting. But I think honestly, like we're looking at, there are a couple of different things with gender identity that are moving through the courts. Some of the choice stuff is going to come back. So I think watching how the Supreme Court regulates that once they have already basically thrown out the right to choice and abortion and reproductive freedom, now they're sort of being forced to question again. It's like, okay, well, at what point are women not going to be forced to die? Like, at what point in their pregnancy, you know, can they be saved? You know, what is the responsibility? Who holds the responsibility in not saving somebody? Can the hospital be sued? Can health insurance be sued? Like, who has standing in those things? So, like that. That world is sort of what I'm most interested in. And then obviously the UFOs.
UFOs, it's the end of humanity. I mean, there's an alien invasion, and it's in New Jersey, evidently. Of all places that the aliens are going to go, New Jersey.
You know, I think a lot of people this year have discovered the planet Venus. Like, I think that's probably a main thing that's going on, is people are like, I see something real shiny up there. And it's like, yeah, it's a star or it's a planet.
Or it's Uranus.
Right. There you go. One of my favorite, because I, of course, I've been following this stuff like crazy to laugh at what people are saying. And the stuff that they posted last night about the Capitol and seeing a bunch of lights around the Capitol. I'm like, y'all know National Airport's right there, right? Like, there's a whole track of planes that like line up over the Potomac to land because that's the track that they take. And I am floored by the conspiracy theories. And I think too, like, you know, that once this started to become a news story, every redneck with their drone is like, oh, this is going to be fun. Right. Like, that's what I would do if I had a drone. I'd be like, let's see how many people I can freak out. Right.
Yeah, and how much, you know, a friend of mine called and he's like, you know, freaking out because, you know, there's a drone invasion, and he's got the mindset that, you know, it's the Chinese with the weather balloons. And I'm like, no, they're probably planes, or more likely, they're just people who are pulling your chain because they need attention. You know,
right?
You know, do you remember when you were driving on the turnpike and with your CB on, and you would hear all of the trolls out there trying to, you know, with anything that they could come up with? They're just now doing it on the internet and with drones. Relax, we're gonna be fine. There's no alien invasion. They're not here.
they're not here. And I think too, like watching some of the, seeing some of the pictures that I've seen, it, they're all of these really cool new technologies when it comes to fireworks displays, where they're using drones to do all kinds of cool stuff. And this time of year, I'm like, is somebody maybe working on their tech for a New Year's display? Or I'm like, there's a lot of different roads that I can turn down for, to explain this more logically. And, but aliens is the fun one. So.
No, absolutely. But here's where I'm going to leave this, because here's where my mind goes. There's a lot of people out there with way too much time on their hand, and they need to go get jobs. Evidently, they've got nothing better to do than to be recording planes or whatever's flying, or maybe Elon's Starlink satellites going by. But they need to get a hobby other than this. Go get a job. Go do something, something productive, something useful. Just a thought.
One of those people is the former governor of Maryland, who claims that he saw the lights in the sky, and everybody came back and was like, bro, that's the Orion Nebula. Like, that's the constellation.
And I know he was abducted by the aliens and anally probed. And whatever you had to drink that night, don't do it again. But Sarah, as always, I appreciate the time. Wish you and yours the best holiday season. And I look forward to having you back here next year as, well, all the fun and the entertainment begin.
Thank you. And have an awesome new year.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Want to hear your thoughts. What are you looking for in the new year? What's going to be your favorite bit of destruction? Will it be the aliens? Maybe the aliens got here. Who knows? Want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Right back. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1951. That was the day New York City was struck by the Great Bagel Famine. 300 members across 32 bakeries of the Bagel Bakers of America Local 338 walked off the job over wages and working conditions. Morris Siegel, business agent for the local, stated that the Bakers Association had been lax in living up to the welfare fund payments and sanitary provisions of the contract. The Bagel Bakers produced 1.2 million bagels weekly for New York City consumers. The Wisconsin Jewish Chronicle noted, quote, "The only ones welcoming this respite are the salmon. Diners, delicatessens, and Teamster delivery drivers were all rocked by the strike, which lasted for 6 weeks. The two sides were so deadlocked that a mediator who had effectively settled a smoked salmon dispute 3 years earlier was brought in to help settle the conflict. The Bagel Bakers won a $3 a day wage increase and were ready to return to work. But the Teamsters would not begin deliveries until they were paid for lost wages due to the lack of deliveries made during the strike. The Bagel Bakers would engage in job actions effectively over the course of the next 15 years until they, too, suffered the fate of many an industrial worker, that of automation. Their labor would eventually be replaced by labor-saving bagel-making machines by the late 1960s.
The Bagel Bakers Local 338 was a union that was based in New York State, and they set the minimum wages of the Yiddish bagel bakeries and controlled all of the stages from the flour sack to the plate. But like the railroad to the canal.
For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at laborhistoryin2.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, going to be an interesting new year. Especially as Sarah pointed out, the Supreme Court, you know, who knows what is coming out of the Roberts Court. And look, history will remember the Roberts Court for just pulling stuff, well, out of thin air, you know, just making up new stuff. Remember, these are the people who weren't going to overturn Roe. Remember? Yeah, these are the people who believed in decided law. Remember? This was the Roberts guy who, only going to call balls and strikes, believed in stare decisis, decided law. And yet the Janus decision overturned, you know, 40 plus years of labor peace, and then you've got the Roe, and there's more to come. Yeah, the Chevron deference that went this past summer with the Loper decision, so much of reshuffling America. And look, after these 4 years, as I said at the beginning, man, we're not going to recognize America. And understand, the people who've got control of the country, they hate this country. They hate it. They hate what it is. And they are going to fundamentally change every bit of it to return to the good old days when they loved it. You know, the 80s and 90s and not the 1980s and 90s. They want to go back to the robber baron era. And look, you've got Musk, the Doge boy, and Jeff Bezos, the other richest guy in the country. They are trying to neuter the National Labor Relations Board. Why? Because they want to be able to fire workers at will. And this is going to be an interesting thing to see as their case moves through the courts. They're choosing, you know, right-wing justices right now, I guess. The last I remember, there was the Fifth Circuit heard the case, which I believe is a Republican majority. This will find its way to the Supreme Court, and it basically will rule parts of the NLRA unconstitutional. You know, the parts that benefit workers. Because, you know, why would we want to give working people any power whatsoever? So, of course, they're going to neuter it to the point to where it's even more worthless than it is at this point, after decades of it being just picked away at. The death of 1,000 paper cuts. As one person told me, it's the ossification of our labor laws. The fact that it no longer meets the needs of today's workers as it once did, that's a big part. And all of these decisions, all of these handcuffing, all of this whittling down to a very narrow window for working people to fight for better wages, hours, conditions, have got us where we are now. And look, the anger, the frustration that people feel, absolutely real and absolutely justified. So going to be interesting to see. Also, a case that I'm going to be watching kind of closely, a commercial truck driver evidently failed to pass his drug test and claimed that he was using this product that claimed to not have the bad stuff in it from cannabis. It was only the CBD stuff, which supposedly is the non-psychoactive component in cannabis. It's supposed to be, you know, it's legal generally, I guess. Well, he took it for pain, evidently, and failed his drug test, and now he's suing the company that made it. And it will be interesting to see how this plays out, because he's filing it under a RICO Act. And the company is trying to say, no, this is just a product liability thing. It's your garden variety. Yeah, because, you know, your product not working and getting a guy fired. Yeah, garden variety. So I will find it interesting how this will work out, because all of the CBD stuff, all of this cannabis, you know, that we see around us, it will be interesting to see how the law begins to either restrain or unrestrain the use of it. Because, look, if it's not the part that gets you high and not the part that makes you err in judgment, then truck drivers got to be able to use it. And how's testing going to keep up with that? So we've got an interesting year ahead of us. And as I said, look, the Republicans won the elections. They have the House. They have the Senate. They have the White House. They get to do all of the things that they said they were going to do. They have the keys to the car and they can drive it. And everything that they said they're going to do, I fully anticipate them doing. Will it work out the way they say, the way they hope, the way they plan? I seriously doubt it. But that's where we're going to have to continue to pay attention. And also, this is where we're going to suffer. And I'm hoping, as I said at the beginning, I'm hoping we wake up to the reality that the CEO class of this country, they don't care about you or me. They don't care about our families, our communities, this country. They care about the bottom line, their profit. That's it. That's the system. So it's going to be interesting to see what the next 4 years brings us. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. You got something to say? Want to hear it? Miss any portion of the program? Make sure you grab the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You'll find ours. And as always, thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Email Rick at rick@thericksmithshow.com.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The tributes continue in the wake of the death of former President Jimmy Carter.
If you go to anyone's house in Plains, Georgia, they have a story about Jimmy Carter, or Mr. Jimmy, as they called him.
Ernie Suggs of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covered Carter for decades. He says Carter became a hometown hero in Plains, taking a stand against racial discrimination.
Even in 1954, even owning a business in the rural, tiny Plains, Georgia, he rebuked the temptation to join basically the Klan or the Citizens Council because of who he was and how he grew up and the people who was around him when he grew up.
The federal appellate court in Washington, D.C. upheld a jury finding Donald Trump in a civil case sexually abused a columnist in the mid-90s. A 10th and final disbursement from the fund making payments to victims of Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, another $131 million to mostly small investors. This is ABC News. A development as the Menendez brothers continue their bid to be resentenced.